Good evening, everyone. I want to welcome you to tonight's December 11, 2023 City Council meeting. You'd all please rise for a short private invocation, asking for God's blessing on this city and wisdom as our City Council makes its decisions tonight. Now, if you'll please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Tonight, the city this section of our City Council meeting is the citizen input. Is there any citizen tonight who would like to address the City Council? Please raise your hand and I'll recognize you. Tammy? Yeah, please.
Hi, I'm Tammy Foley, back again. I'm by myself because people in the town have been talking to me about the situation at Pet Rescue, but none of them would come tonight because they said you won't listen to them. But I think they're wrong. I think if they had come, you would have listened to them. We had a very good meeting a week or so ago with Mayor Logan and Councilwoman Gina Doro and Chief Rim. And I felt like we made some progress with helping the city better understand the situation we're dealing with at Pet Rescue. One thing that Kim Bailey and I have been learning when we've been visiting the schools is that the majority of people in Othello are responsible pet owners. They get their animals spayed, neutered, vaccinated. They keep them confined in their yard. They take them to the vet when they're sick. It's just this small number of people that we have that make poor choices or have life events happen to them beyond their control that have led to our out of control animal population. Just like most people are responsible gun owners, but a few bad gun owners make all gun owners look bad. It's the same thing with animal control. A few bad decisions make everyone that has animals look bad in Othello. I stated before that prior to joining the board, I just assumed that our tax dollars, my city tax dollars, were fully funding the city's portion of animal rescue. I didn't know that it's only a very small amount, $25,000 every year, and the Adams County Pet Rescue has had to absorb the other $300,000. Can you imagine what that has been doing to us at Pet Rescue, having to absorb $300,000 every year to take care of the city's animals? This year, we took in 275 animals for the city. Last year, it was 240. Next year, it will probably be 300. It might even be 350. We don't know how many animals are out there, how many unneutered and unspayed dogs are out there. I read in the paper that it was suggested at the last meeting that we become a kill shelter. Well, I'm telling you, Othello is a pro-life Christian community. We don't kill animals in Othello. We are talking about our friends and neighbors' animals. We maybe you're thinking that these are just dangerous animals roaming the city, and so it's okay to kill them. But let me just share with you. This is a beautiful black lab and a little puppy with a broken leg that I fostered for Pet Rescue. These are animals that were found within the city and brought in by animal control. Where in the world would you ever find a vet who would be willing to euthanize a healthy lab and a little puppy when we had Last Saturday, we had the 5K run with the high school kids. These dogs are city dogs. They had the time of their lives on that walk. It was pouring rain, wet. They were so happy when going out on that walk. This is Perla. She's a Pomeranian Chihuahua mix that I fostered for 4 months. Another Othello city dog. I don't know if you're aware when an animal is picked up by our pet rescue and brought into the rescue, we have to follow very strict protocol because we have so much parvo in Othello. We have so much disease in Othello. I've been there when the animal control officer, our little Caitlin, has come in with animals. The staff comes out, they have on a PPE gown, they have on gloves. Someone has a syringe, they're giving that dog rabies vaccine, parvo vaccine, because we have to assume they've not been vaccinated. They bring the dog in, they give it a bath, they isolate it because we don't know what sort of diseases it has. Sometimes there's diarrhea, sometimes it's vomiting, sometimes it's bleeding, it might have mange, it might have ringworm. These are all very, very highly contagious diseases. I can't imagine you would want your city staff to have to come in contact with dogs like this if you were doing your own little mini rescue shelter out back. I can't imagine you'd want your police officers dealing with such sick and diseased animals. They could bring home anything on the bottom of their shoes. They could bring it home to their families. They could bring it home to their own pets. I just really can't imagine that you want to spend the money for your own animal care workers, your own facilities, your own PPE, when we have a facility, we have trained staff, we have all the expertise to take care of these animals. The community does not want us to euthanize animals. I'm trying to wrap my mind around the fact that as a council, you would want that to be your legacy, that you are the council that voted for us to become a kill shelter. I don't know even what to say about that. Lastly, I don't know if you realize how much we do for you besides taking the 275 animals off the city that we took for you guys. We took another 560 from the county, and we know that many of those are dogs that were city citizens dumped in the county. But we had 500 families visit Othello this year. 500 families. They've come from as far as Montana to Othello to adopt a dog. And when they're here, they eat in our restaurants, they buy gas at our gas stations. They stop in our stores to buy snacks. They stop at Kickstand and buy coffee. They spend $100,000 a year in Othello, $100,000 a year. Think about what that does for our community. That's a lot of money coming into our community. Honestly, I don't know what else to say. We don't need your dogs to go into debt, $300,000. We'll be shut down by February. If we're going to take the city's dogs, we need more reimbursement. We're not asking you for a whole budget. That would be $364,000. We're not asking you for that much. We're asking you for $150,000. That's half. That's less than half. We will fundraise the other $200,000. We're fundraising every day. You have a question for me?
City Council.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Other citizen who wants to address the City Council tonight? Okay. Item 1E is our roll call, and I'll make mention that all council members are present tonight. I'd like to move to item 2 is the approval of tonight's agenda.
Make a motion to approve tonight's agenda.
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Item three is our consent agenda. I'd entertain a motion to approve tonight's consent agenda. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Now, as we move to our current business, our first item is the approval of a resolution adopting the revised park and recreation fee schedule. Tonight, we have the pleasure of having our park and rec coordinator, Valerie Hernandez. She met with the committee last week and reviewed the park and rec fee schedule. And Valerie, you have a report for the entire council tonight.
Yes, I do. So today, the following changes are being presented to amend the current resolution for parks and recreation fees. The proposed changes are updates and additions to the current fees. I would also like to request to update the fee scale entirely to round up to the nearest quarter for the 2024 year moving forward. This is taking the fee scale that was approved in December, and that was approved through 2027, and just rounding those numbers up. So that was a 2% increase annually that was approved in December each year. These fees result from the city's decision to manage potential large increases in the future. Keeping the increases within the range creates a predictable schedule that is fair and reasonable for citizens of our community. In addition, applying flat fees, because that's one of the changes, to specific items will eliminate any confusion on total event costs for our applicants and community members who will be applying to host events. The committee believes that these additions and adjustments should be imposed immediately. In addition, you'd like to review the additions and editorials. They are on the attached documents. So what we did as a committee, I provided the comparison for different cities. So we pulled that document and we took about, there was five cities that we compared, or four, in addition to Othello, to make these decisions. So I don't know if you want to post that, if you want to select that document that shows the comparisons, just for reference. So, and I also, there was an attachment with the updates and additions.
There's no comparisons.
Yeah, there's no third document.
There? Okay. I did send that to Yvonne.
Okay. I'll look for it.
So I had provided the...
asked specifically for it.
Yeah, because that's...
Because it made the point, yeah.
Yes, and that was... I had emailed that to Yvonne. There should have been three documents that were attached. So it was the comparison to other cities. In addition to the updates and changes.
Valerie, why don't you just tell the rest of the council what the conclusion was of those? Yeah.
So do we want to then?
Compare our fees in comparison to surrounding cities.
Okay.
So give some generalizations.
So for an event fee, game rentals, for example, we charge $41.82. And there are other cities that, like Moses Lake, who will charge $38 per game, $27, $32. They have a range of, there's one that's 40 and 45. And this is all separate and divided depending on if you're an adult league, a youth league. There's so many different reasons, whether it's in season, out of season, on how they charge. We didn't want to have all these separate charges. We wanted to have one fee. Which we have,
and ours was $41.82 per day, per game.
This was is that correct? Was for the game. So there, we have tournament rentals also, but this was just in comparison to games where you have Pasco, who has $20 per game, but that doesn't include the maintenance. So then they have additional charges for maintenance. So that's per game on in that aspect. But we can jump to that tournament fee. For tournaments, we have some, Yakima, for example, they state $1,000 minimum per day. And then, Richland, that's $1,069 per day. Our tournament, prices that we have listed is, per day, per field, $142.82. So that's per field per day. So I truly feel that our tournament fee is quite fair compared to others that we had listed. In addition to other towns, they have listed their required supervisory fees. And for example, in addition to that, Pasco, who does have a lower price per game, but all these additional fees, such as they have to buy turfist drying additives for each day. So if it's a 1 day, you're required to buy 4 bags of turfist. If it's a 2 day, 8 bags. If it's a 3 day, 12 bags. So all these fees just add up, and I still feel our prices are quite fair. And in addition to that, we don't have ball crews like they do, and they have that listed. So they have a maintenance for an event, and then they have a ball crew for a tournament. And they have ball crew per hour. And one of the changes that we wanted to do as a committee was to have a flat fee instead. So we would have $350 a day instead of the per hour right now that we have as event staff. We'd like to make that change. When we do per hour, it's a huge number. It's a number that just scares people away. So we decided as a committee that we'd like to do a lot of flat fees and set fee, so that it's not a surprise if the tournament goes longer or not so long. It's just that flat fee. They know they're going to pay it. They're going to get through that tournament with no crazy additional fees. So with that being said, we had, so that I'm sure she didn't add the changes and the updates and changes. I was really hoping that would be on there. Okay, so I can go through. Right now we have, for our events, we have 2 line items. And I have 13 items listed for Othello City Parks event fees. So these are updates and changes, and I'll let you know if it's an update or editorial, language editorial. So the first 13 will be under the parks event fees. We currently have 2 line items that are attendance capacity. And the first one is 150 to 500 people. And the second one is 500 plus. 90% of our events are 1,000 plus people. And with that being said, I would like to have 3 tiers. And the first tier would be 150 to 500 capacity, would be 275. 500 to 1,000, which would be 475. And then that third tier would be new, and that would be 1,000 plus attendance capacity. So that first tier we would list would come with 2 event public work employees. The second one would come with 3 public work employees, and the third one would come with 4 public work employees. So that would eliminate the event staff overtime line item if we did a flat fee. An additional event staff would be 150 instead of charging the per hour that we do at the moment. And they wouldn't have to, if the 2 people, 3 people, and 4 people are good, it's their choice if they would like to have additional staff members. And that would be, again, a flat fee of 150 per event staff. Then we go into the setup and takedown. At the moment, again, we have setup and takedown. We have per hour, and that is listed for the 2023 year in the packet. We have 55,808 and for regular, and 8,262 for overtime. Now, if we eliminate that and have a flat fee of setup and takedown of $300, that would eliminate paying each individual per hour and or overtime, depending on who we have out there. Then we go into the, I'd like to make an update and change in price for the portable toilets and hand wash stations. At the moment, we are charging $88.74 for a ADA toilet and hand wash station. Our price for that, straight across, what we pay is $150 for that ADA portable toilet and $85 for the hand wash station. So our plan as a committee was to, we would like to have a unit price that will be billed to match what we are billed. so that we're not making anything, it'd be straight across. Then we have three new items that would be added, which would be the announcer booth, the portable stage, and the movie screen. The announcer booth, and these three items would only be used for special events only. The announcer booth would be a damage deposit, an additional damage deposit of $500. The portable stage would be a $200 rental, and the movie screen, $150 rental. These would come along with waivers and rental forms. A new item that I'd like to have that was used across in other towns was the ball field crew. So we would use a maintenance crew for special events. And then if we had a tournament, we have a tournament ball field crew. And that would be $350 per day to take care of fields. Two or more days, that'd be determined by our public works director. And we would meet with these organizers to determine if it was a one day, they may not need that crew. If it's 2 days, two more days, they will be needing the crew to maintain those fields. Then after that, we have soccer, football, and basketball that will be added to the practice rentals, practice field rentals. And that would be the exact price of what we have listed already. So it'd be soccer field with lights and without lights. We would have football with lights and without lights. And then we have basketball also with lights, without lights. And I just want everybody to know that this is not just to use the fields and courts. Anybody can use those fields and courts as they please. This is only if you want exclusive time to yourself, to your group, your specific group, they can have the option to rent these facilities. And for basketball, we'd like to add a separate basketball tournament fee that would be different than the sports complex, because for the basketball court, we don't need to be painting lines. So that would be a $400 per day for the facility. That includes all four courts for the day. And again, that's if you'd like your exclusive time, you want to rent that area for you and your group. So those were the changes that I had listed in updates. So
the committee met with Valerie. Do you guys have any comments?
Yeah, I think it's all inclusive. Valerie's done a really good job actually identifying everything that the city has available to utilize for the public of Othello. And there was a lot of things that needed to be added with the changes that we've made over the
our new facilities.
So it was all inclusive as far as I was concerned. And I wish we had the comparison.
Yes, in the, that was my...
It was asked for, and it was, you know, a very good layout.
And my understanding on the comparison is Valerie is going to be keeping copies of that and whenever anybody comes in so that they can see what the comparative costs are from Othello to all the surrounding other surrounding towns, yeah, their facilities.
And we're a lot less than any city within 30 miles, 40 miles of us.
Especially going with the flat fees.
Yes.
I think it makes it very fair. I had a quick question on the announcer booth damage deposit. That is refundable because you don't have it. You don't have it written in there. Okay, so
can we make that?
Because you have like a damage deposit refundable, just a few lines down for the.
Yes, we can make that.
Yeah.
Change so that it's identical to the other.
Okay.
Damage deposits.
And the other thing she did do is, with the prices, they were all over the place as far as the cents. It was like 11 cents, 17 cents, 23 cents. So she took and we asked her to round to the nearest quarter so that it was a lot easier for the calculating and change if they need it.
Any other comments, questions? With that, I'd then entertain a motion to approve this resolution 2023-26. which adopts changes to the park and recreation fee schedule for 23 through 27 and take effect immediately.
I'll make the motion to approve the new resolution for the park and recreation fee schedule.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you. Thank you, Valerie. Item 4B is the approval of an agreement between the City of Othello and NBI Organics Technologies. And tonight, our city engineer, Sean O'Brien, is going to talk about this contract and proposal. We met in committee last week and discussed with the company what they propose to do and help the city do at the wastewater treatment plant. So, Sean.
There it is. Oh.
There we go. We got green. Okay, Mayor, Council. What you have before you is a contract that we've been working out with NBI Organic and the Department of Ecology to use at our treatment plant. The contract has an initial pilot study period of anywhere from 2 to 4 months, but I think it'll probably go the full 4 months, where they'll be injecting a bacteria into our treatment plant continuously in the upper ponds, and then that'll work its way down to the lower ponds, and it should address removing both the BOD and suspended solids, which are two of the components that as summertime approaches, we start climbing up, starting in February, April timeframe, and then we've had some exceedances in the past in all past years, when we get into the May, June, July, August timeframe. So this is an effort, we feel for it's a $6,950 mobilization fee to set up the pilot project, and we will give it up to that 4 months to see if it produces a good results and keeps us in within compliance. And if it does, then they're proposing that we enter into a 2-year contract, which if the process does not, they don't meet their end by keeping us compliant, we can terminate the project at that time. And, but if they do produce good results, it'd be up to a 24-month agreement, and then that can be extended at that point, but there'll probably be some renegotiation of costs and whatnot at that time, but that hasn't been addressed yet. This is just an effort to try to get us within our discharge permit more consistently as we work towards building a treatment plant. I can answer any questions.
So when's it going to start the pilot program?
They are in the contract. They said they're hoping to have it installed around January 31st. So that gets it so that plus or minus that time, which is we're in compliant in January and February, and I think even March most of the time. But we start climbing up. So I think it's probably a good time. Department of Ecology was kind of hesitant of us getting it started up in January or in December, November timeframe, because they were saying you're in good compliance at that point. So this, I think, will be a pretty good window to start it.
So that's what I was wondering, why it wasn't going to start around May when you said the numbers are exceeding limits anyways.
Well, they'll be injecting it into our system is at the beginning of the process, which the flow does take about 4 months to get through the treatment plant. So that's as soon as they can get it installed. They're booked into January right now. But I do think it's a benefit to get it pushed back. So those first couple months they're putting it into the process, we'll still be discharging flow that has not went through this additional treatment. So hopefully they will stop that BOD and suspended solids increases that show up in that April, May, June timeframe.
So the other question I had, you said the costs haven't been established yet, but I thought on the contract, it was $6,000 a month after the...
No, that has been established. It's The agreement is for 24 months after the pilot project. That has been established. There's an ability to extend the contract in the future.
Oh, after the 2 years. If, after the 20, if, it's 28 months or after that.
Yeah, 20. Okay. It's 4 months of the pilot project and 24 months of an agreement after that.
Okay.
So with the option to
project
extend it.
Costs us only the $69.50, not an additional $6,000 per month.
Correct. If they do not produce good results at the end of the pilot project, we can say remove it, and all we're spending and less, it's a little over $1,500 a month.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a, we want to try it. We figure it's a, there's results show that they've reduced BOD amounts in every place they've put it, installed their process, and every little bit will get us towards either being completely in compliant or closer to being in compliance.
Mm-hmm. Have they done any studies to determine what projected reduction?
They have provided studies, but it, every treatment plant has a little bit of a different flow, different mm-hmm. times of the season. So everything is very promising. They've kind of cut their levels close to what we've had down to, I think, even single digits, low teens, and we're shooting to be underneath 30 for BOD and 45 for spin install solid. So the results show that it'll produce good effects. Just a matter of, we're still gathering some information on how much of our BOD and suspended solids is a component of the sewage and how much is a component of algae that ends up growing in the summer when you get the hot temperatures. So they believe they can remove enough nutrients that it'll actually reduce the algae blooms also. And so not only would it be the sewage treatment, it'd also be the algae reduction. Between those two components, hopefully we can stay within our permit.
Thank you, Sean. Any further questions? If not, I'd entertain a motion to this pilot project, and if successful, a two-year contract for $6,000 per month.
We'll make that motion.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Our next item is 4C, that we also met and discussed this in committee with Shannon Bradabo of Tetra Tech. Sean, do you want to give the council a report on that meeting?
Yes, Mayor Council. So, with your sewer treatment plants, you get an NPDES permit, which is typically a five-year permit. Our last one was renewed in late 2020. And so we have a deadline coming up. After about 4 years into your permit, you have to get your next application in and put it in the DOE's hands. Generally, they take a lot more than their 1 year to review the permit, but we still want to meet our deadline. And I think the previous time we went through this was in 2013, and they didn't eventually end up approving the permit until 2020. I think they'll probably be a little bit quicker this time around, but it's a much more complex. We've been collecting a lot of data since our last permit. That information all has to be put into the application and entered into the DOE's some databases. And so Tetra Tech has been a sub-consultant for Varela in the past. And so we're dealing directly with them. They did most of the work the last time around. And so they have given us a not to exceed amount based on kind of the estimated times they think that they will have to put into completing this process for it, or helping us complete this process. A lot of the work will also be done by our staff, but these are some of the cost estimates, and we're just presenting this to you to give authority for the mayor to enter into this contract.
And Tetra Tech was the company that collected a lot of our data for this upcoming permit. So they would be very familiar with what's going into the permit.
Yes, they've done a lot of the works with the river studies or creek studies, and gathering a lot of the information began, they were a sub-consultant to Varela, but then once we kind of parted ways with Varela, we contracted with them directly. And Shannon specifically did most of, I think, had her hands in all the work.
Any further questions, counsel?
Children are unbudgeted, but it's funded by the sewer fund. Have they reserved enough reserves in the sewer fund to cover this cost?
$10 million.
Our sewer fund has a very large amount that we've been, it's been building up because we do have a wastewater treatment plant in place, in place. I think we actually probably thought that the DOE was going to require us to build a treatment plant several years ago, but the last permit came out and it was had a lot more criteria for us to gather information so that the DOE and us and our consultants would have much more detailed and thorough information for what the treatment plant needs to correct. So we do have a large fund balance for that, and I can talk with you and help bring you up to speed if you want to after the meeting.
Darrell, do you have any other question? Okay. Corey, did you? Right. I'd entertain that motion then.
I'll make the motion to approve the contract with Tetra Tech Inc. for 2A MPDS. Permit application renewal assistance for a total project cost not to exceed $43,507.
I'll second that. Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Item 4D is the Adams County Pet Rescue. We've been in negotiations since October with Adams County Pet Rescue. And that agreement expires at the end of this year. We've had a number of negotiating sessions with them and their representatives. And after these conversations, I agree with Tammy Foley that I think the city understands a lot better about the work that they're doing. So in working out that agreement, the city made an offer to the board of the pet rescue. That offer was a flat fee of $75,000 a year, which was a 50% increase over last year. But there were some new key concessions and provisions that Police Chief Dave and I had conversations with the committee as that we would have a 3-day hold on dogs before they became the property of Pet Rescue. One key provision is ACPR had up to 3 weeks from the date of the city drop off to determine the adoptability of an animal. And ACPR could ask the city to pick up the animal anytime during that 3 weeks if the animal is deemed unadoptable, which was a major concession that the city had made to the organization. City agreed in that offer to absorb 100% of the animal control, which is dog pickup within the city. The cities it will issue and collect fees from the City of Othello residents for dog licenses. City will absorb responsibility for animal control enforcement with dog owners writing tickets and adjudicating through the Othello Municipal Court. We went from a quarterly report to a single annual report in September to enable us to budget any changes in the financial arrangements with the organization. We agreed to do a mutual hold harmless agreement. And in addition to that, the city would provide one former city police department vehicle with 90 to 100,000 miles, And we would also provide all maintenance, oil changes, tire rotation, et cetera, through its mechanic in the Public Works Department. ACPR would buy the new parts. ACPR then responded to the city's offer, and they stated, we are unable to provide sheltering services for that fee. So with that response, the city staff's reviewing its options and will present city council with its findings. Is there any questions? Okay. Next item is 4E. Tanya?
So at this time, staff has wrapped up everything and all the business that we feel we needed to bring to council for the year. So would council like to cancel the December 26th meeting? I have a motion, please.
I'll make the motion to cancel the December 26th city council meeting.
Okay. Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Item 5 is unfinished business. Do we have any unfinished business to go over tonight? We have item 6, any new business to go over tonight? Okay, the council will also receive building and planning November report, and with no further business, we will conclude tonight's meeting at 6:41 p.m.